Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get an educated opinion from one of my favorite NBA insiders. He's the founder, creator, chief cook, and bottle washer of HoopsCritic.com. You can hear him on SiriusXM's NBA channel and also from time to time catch his smiling face on the NBA Network. Our buddy Brian Geltz Island jumps aboard with us here on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Ben Geltz.
I've been good, Jody. How you doing, buddy? Always good to be on with you.
My pleasure. Yes, you've been busy. The NBA season kicked into overdrive, playoffs, into the draft, into some off-court stuff that got a lot of attention, and I want to break it all down with you. We haven't talked since the Warriors raised another championship banner. This 16-1 postseason run on top of the regular season they had, where does this put the Warriors on your pantheon of all-time one-season NBA teams? At the top, top three, top five, top ten? Jody, don't get crazy. How do you rate this season the Warriors had?
When you look at what they did in the finals and a 16-1 playoff and a 67-win season combined with that, I think the whole body of work certainly makes them easily top ten and closer to five than ten. I really think it's that great a team. They accomplished some unique things. I mean, they, you know, with any kind of break, they go undefeated. This was a historic team in so many ways. It's going to be hard to keep it together, and you know, the system is rigged against them being able to keep this together. So it'll be interesting what shakes out over the next 3 to 4 years. But this, we were able to witness, you know, one of the better teams we'll probably ever see. If we see a team that's going to be close to this good in the short term, Jody, it's probably going to be another version of these Warriors.
This leads me nicely into my next question. There's no right or wrong answer here. It's just an opinion. I had Bob Ryan, I know a guy who you and I both respect as an NBA historian, last week and asked him about the Warriors and dynasty. And he has a very literal definition of dynasty, like the Manchu dynasty or whatever. It's got to be over decades to be a dynasty. I have a slightly different definition. Two championships in 3 years, a seven-game defeat in the 1 year they didn't win it. Is 3 years enough to consider what the Warriors in right now a dynasty?
No, it's not. I mean, it's one of the great three-year stretches we've seen in the history of the sport. That I will certainly say. Dynasty, no, sir. We have one dynasty in the NBA right now, and it's probably the San Antonio Spurs, who are looking at 17 straight years of 50 wins or more, five championships through that period of time, seven finals appearances. You know, it's been amazing. Six finals appearances. Nonetheless, that sustained run for them is as close to a dynasty as we'll see. The Warriors have to do this for a long time. And can they? Will they? I don't know. We'll see. I mean, listen, you're going to run into some issues here. Because already now you have to worry about what's happening with Iguodala and Livingston. And I don't know that it's going to be easy for them to keep them both, even with Durant taking a little less than what he's entitled to. I think it's going to be hard, but I also think that they drafted Patrick McCaw last year, and they like him a lot, and they feel like he can be a guy that can fill the Iguodala role. And we saw a little bit of that towards the tail end of the finals. He's not going to be as seasoned or as good as Andre Iguodala or as good defensively, but he has a similar type of skill set that you can develop. And I think that's what we're going to have to see with the Warriors. They can keep this core four together over time and decide that they're going to pay enough tax to pay all these guys the money that they're entitled to in the open market. What they do around that's going to be interesting, and that's why they raised a lot of eyebrows draft night when they went ahead and bought the number 38 pick to select Jordan Bell out of Oregon. Because a lot of people respect, and the Warriors generally have an interesting eye for talent that slips through the cracks, and that's one that we could see him in that rotation sooner rather than later.
You mentioned Kevin Durant. Were you a Kevin Durant detractor? Did you utter the words easy way out like others did? Or are you a Kevin defender who took the American way to go to Golden State?
Well, I think I'm somewhere in between. I mean, I would have rather he made a different choice. With that said, if you're going to go and do what he did, it certainly helps your case when you play as well as he did. I mean, it's not, you know, he didn't back into a title. This wasn't on Steph Curry's coattails. I mean, he was an amazing, amazing player in the NBA Finals. He did as efficient a job of dismantling another team as you'll ever see in an NBA Final. And on the other side was a top five all-time player he did it against. So there's nothing light about what he did here. And again, I would have rather he chose a different path. But in the way that he handled this pass and the way that he's played, it's tough to not be impressed and give him all the credit in the world for how his first NBA title was won.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Brian Geltzeiler here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Geltz, after the Warriors won it in five, LeBron James was asked, well, what are you going to do to get past the Warriors? And he took a deep breath. He said, I'm going to have to think about that. Well, he's done some thinking. Apparently, his owner's done some thinking, but the Cavs haven't made any moves yet. Didn't get any trades done leading up to the draft, during the draft. Now we're after the draft. Yeah, certainly, free agency is still out there. Can the Cavs do anything to get on a level with the Warriors?
Probably not in the short term. I mean, the deal that you look to be out there, whatever that they thought will be out there, was a Kevin Love deal. And much to my surprise, and I am shocked by this, Jody, there is not a huge, rich, vibrant market for Kevin Love. And for the life of me, I can't understand it. It's an anomaly to me. Because I look at a guy here who has the potential to be so much more offensively than what he was for this team, but just worked hard to fit into a role. A guy that never was a ditch digger by nature, but became one, was able to accentuate his strength in rebounding, became a much scrappier player than he ever was, showed it some team aspects you haven't seen from him, and a guy who's generally been a weak defensive player, who work very hard to not be a full liability all the time. And on a very, very friendly contract. $20 million a year guaranteed for the next 3 years. Actually, I'm sorry, guaranteed for the next 2 years with an option for the last year. But Kevin Love's a guy when you have 2 years of him right now, teams would pony up big for him. We haven't seen that for the Cavs. Mm-hmm. And if Kevin Love's not going to have that kind of trade value, there's not much. LeBron has kind of played his last card with this team. The only thing I will tell you about the Cavs, which is interesting, watch the buyout market here in July. It's quite possible that Wade gets bought out with the Bulls going in the tank, and it's quite possible that Carmelo Anthony gets bought out. And if both of those guys get bought out, it's going to be for most every dime that they were going to get in their contract. They'll be thrilled to go play with LeBron for league minimum at that point because they're not going to be worried about money. And that's where we could see some kind of transformation the Cavaliers make.
Fair enough, but the buyout didn't really help this year with Andrew Bogut or Darren Williams. Now, these are better players you're talking about this year, but they went down that road and it didn't quite pay the dividends you're referring to, and I'm with you. If Love doesn't have much of a market, shame on the NBA. I still think he's a tough flight player.
I agree.
LeBron's got this year, and then he's free at the end of next year. Dan Gilbert dismisses general manager that I thought did nothing but try and keep the band together and do everything that LeBron wanted and Gilbert wanted, had to play medium between those two. David Griffin did as much as could possibly be asked of him, and he's shown the door without giving a chance to talk to any other team. Is it going to get ugly in Cleveland between LeBron and Dan Gilbert again?
I don't know. And I don't even know if ugly is the word, because I think what's going to happen is that Dan Gilbert may create enough dysfunction within his own organization that he loses LeBron a second time. I mean, that's kind of what we're staring down here. Jody, I laugh. I mean, my father has an expression for guys like Dan Gilbert. He could screw up a one-car funeral procession. And this guy knows how to make money. But in terms of his management of people in these situations and being consistent about either be involved in a basketball operation or stay out of it. But Gilbert will go to, I want to make every decision. Today won't hear from him in the front office for 2-3 weeks at a clip. So it's a really weird scenario there. And really, quite frankly, you know, they've talked to Chauncey Billups here. He's still trying to decide if he wants to take this president of basketball operations. It's pretty simple for Billups. I personally think, and this is speculation, but he's taking the temperature on how likely it is LeBron is to stay. And if you want to tell on if LeBron is going to end up staying or going in Cleveland next year, keep an eye on Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups takes the job, the chances are that LeBron's leaning towards staying. If Chauncey Billups doesn't take that job, I would say that he is not taking it because he believes LeBron James is going to be out the door next summer.
There are about 1,000 things that can happen between now and next summer that could affect LeBron's decision. Assuming they don't go well Cleveland's way, where's LeBron most likely to land?
I would say most likely would be the Los Angeles Lakers. And I know people have talked about the Clippers. The Clippers are going to have a major transition going right now with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin both being very active in exploring their free agent options, which is coming right down the pike here. You know, they shopped DeAndre Jordan this past week, draft week, seeing what the market was for him to try to mix things up a little bit. So they're in flux. The Lakers, they know where they are. And they made a trade this week, this D'Angelo Russell trade with Lopez's contract coming off the books, that they're one step closer to having a whole lot of cap space where LeBron gets to come to the Lakers and bring somebody with him, and then they build out from there. I think that if he would go, it would probably likely be the Lakers, and he would look to start his own operation there and see if he can do something to take down this Warrior juggernaut. That would be my best guess. But, again, it's hard to tell. It's not going to be New York or Chicago. I'm not sure he would at this point, it would bother to leave Cleveland if it wasn't going to be for a larger market. The one dark horse in all this is always the dark horse in all this, which is the Miami Heat. It's the one thing where, listen, Pat Riley wants to end up being a hero to all, and he can bring LeBron back to a situation where there's Whiteside and there's Dragic, and LeBron can kind of, they can go and work out what else they're going to do with the roster here. They become another free agent destination. Maybe LeBron can bring somebody with him there. Who knows? But I think Miami, you can never count Pat Riley out if he wants to be in it. And keep one thing in mind, Pat Riley traded an unprotected pick in 2022 for Goran Dragic. He traded that pick because he didn't count on being around then. So I don't think Riley's going to worry about the far future here in terms of he has an opportunity to bring LeBron back.
Understood. We're talking to Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com, SiriusXM's NBA channel, and also NBA Network here with us on CBS Sports Radio. Draft night was fun. A couple of big deals. Start at the top. Sixers move up from number 3 to number 1. Celtics drop down to 3. Fultz comes off the board. We could evaluate it before they made the picks, after they made the picks. What was your take on the deal between Philly and Boston?
I loved it for both sides. And you'll rarely hear me say that I love a deal for both sides. But I thought that from the Celtics standpoint, they had those four players. When I say those four players, I'm talking about Fultz, Ball, Tatum, and Josh Jackson, all rated very close. And to be able to pick up a meaningful asset that can help them in future trades, just for taking a player that was in a similar rating of the other guys that they had, and they really are quite fond of Isaiah Thomas as their point guard of the future, and I think are looking to pay him a real big deal when his contract comes due here. And, you know, he's eligible for an extension this summer. I think they'll probably wait till next summer to sign him so they can fit some people into their cap. But I think that's the intention. So they figured, hey, we don't need the lead guard. We can get one of these two wings. And then Josh Jackson stood him up for a workout, canceling at the last minute. And so the Celtics here, I thought, made a very good deal. And then for the Sixers standpoint, listen, we've talked about this, Jody. The assets have a shelf life. And, you know, they waited. Sam Hinkie, as good a position as he put the Sixers in, he also put Brian Colangelo in a tough position in terms of maximizing value of assets because of the way the clock ticked. And I thought the Lakers pick, which was supposed to be a linchpin type of greatest asset in the league type of thing, on one hand, using it to trade up two spots is not necessarily the greatest use of it. With that said, that was the here's the thing. Hinkie all the time was on asset accumulation. That was his thing, accumulate assets. But at no point in time did he graduate towards roster building. This is a roster building move for Philly. Fultz was the best player out of those top four guys for their purposes because he fit how they want to play with Ben Simmons, and that was the brilliance behind it. I thought it was an excellent, excellent deal for both sides.
Well, we're agreeing way too much because I see it as a win-win, too, for both Boston and Philadelphia. In Boston, they're calling it a win, and Philly, they're calling it a win. I'm with you. I think it's a win for both. We got to disagree on something. What did you think of the Jimmy Butler trade?
I honestly thought that the John Paxson and Gar Foreman for the second consecutive trade got absolutely mugged, absolutely torn apart. I really did. I you know, here's the thing. And last year, they tried to see if they could. They talked to Minnesota about Dunn and LaVine for Butler, the 5 pick and Zach LaVine for Butler. Minnesota decided not to do it. Think about what ended up happening here. Okay, Minnesota was able to get Butler plus a first round pick. Pretty much it was a trade down 10 spots in Jimmy Butler for LaVine after ACL surgery and Chris Dunn after proving a season in the league that he probably can never shoot the ball at all. It's crazy how you're the Chicago Bulls and you move a first-round pick with Jimmy Butler in any kind of deal is absolute insanity to me. And listen, I would have loved the deal for the Timberwolves if number 16 wasn't included, but it was included in the deal. It's unconscionable to me what a horrible job Bulls management did on the last two deals. Also, that McDermott Gibson for Cameron Payne, how's that working out? You're already going trading more assets for a point guard. That's a messy situation. Listen, the Bulls ought to be happy that the Knicks exist, or everybody would be complaining a lot more about them.
Yeah, we finally disagree. That's because I couldn't have been a bigger Chris Dunn fan last year. He did not have a good year. There's no other way to describe it other than major disappointment. I've not given up on him yet. I think he's going to be the Bulls' starting point guard for a decade. If he is, we'll look back at this and go, well, maybe Foreman and Hurd weren't as stupid as you thought. But, yes, it's a long way down the road. Last thing, free agency. Clippers have both CP3 and Mr. Griffin saying that they're opting out. One staying, both staying, neither staying, complete rebuild. What happens with the Clips?
Gun to my head, I got them both staying. I think that the money is far too rich. And I think, you know, Chris Paul's president of the Players Association. You negotiated this whole deal. And now you're going to make a choice to go somewhere and take less money. It's a weird thing to me, Jody. And, you know, all the years you go back, I go back. Think about that dynamic and how that plays within a union. It's still a union. It's a strange thing, but it's hard for me to believe Paul is going to go somewhere else. And then I look at Blake Griffin, and I think the teams that are going to be willing to offer him a max, besides for Boston, I think his options are going to be limited. I think it's between Boston and the Clippers for him. And I think in the end, that comfort in L.A., knowing what you have versus what you don't have, I think he's going to go back. I know the Clippers would love to keep them both. To me, they'll bring Paul back, they'll bring Griffin back, and I think they'll look to potentially bring somebody in a sign and trade for Redick, see if they can get something. And I think this Jordan stuff, in terms of looking to deal DeAndre Jordan, is very real. Because of his contract, he's the one guy on this roster that's got a lot of trade value, and he's the guy you're going to have to move if you want to change his mix.
All right, I lied. I got one more. If I put these in two different groups, one group is the Boston Celtics, and the Utah Jazz. The other group is the other 28 teams in the NBA. Which group is Hayward going to end up in?
Oh, the Boston Celtics or the Utah Jazz, and I think there's a decent chance that he ends up in Boston. I really do. I think that's something that is being closely looked at, and I think playing for Brad Stevens is something he has his eye on, and I think that Danny Ainge is looking to make moves here with the thought that he's got Hayward in his hip pocket and he's going to hold that cap space no matter what he has to do. So I think definitely Boston or Utah. I know Miami, we've heard about Hayward. It'd be hard-pressed for me to believe that he'll end up going to Miami when that situation in Boston is so cozy for him if he decides to leave Utah. I mean, that's a team you can go win immediately, and that's your old college coach you absolutely adore. That whole situation couldn't play out better. That city would welcome Gordon Hayward with open arms.
That's great stuff. We'll be reading, listening, and watching. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Always my pleasure, too, Jody. We'll talk soon, buddy. You take care.
The Hoops critic himself, Brian Geltzeiler. Follow him on Twitter, @HoopsCritic. One of the best Twitter followers you can find if you're an NBA fan, @HoopsCritic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.